I am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
So just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week. Up,
and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing Batman, Gotham by Gaslight.
Yes,
oh my god.
I haven't anything to say about it. I was going to make a Jack the Ripper joke. There are no Jack the Ripper jokes, so...
As a joker, how many times people use Jack the Ripper? Because he's a... Right, Jack the Ripper was a real person or persons, and I still can't believe that pop culture uses him as often as it does.
Oh, I absolutely can. There's always something mysterious about a crime that hasn't been solved. Look at D.B. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. It's so high profile.
I mean, it's just like, and he wrote notes to the police. It has like every little,
Said, I know that there is debate about at least one of the notes, because one of the notes talks about one less victim than the real Jack Ripper.
That's why they think it might be multiple people. Yeah. And, but it was just like, it's one of the biggest high-profile serial killers, like one of the first ones to actually, like, get that reputation and name and nickname. And, I'm not surprised. It's just, like, it's a little bit tiring.
He was even in Star Trek.
We should probably introduce Connor. So joining us today is also Colin McKenna of a multitude of different podcasts, including Sons of Krypton and I always get the
Last Son of Krypton.
Last Son of Krypton.
Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon. Yeah. One son.
Close enough.
That's why I was getting confused. I was like, which one's which?
Yeah. Well, it's because Last Son, because that's Kal-El.
It's Last Sons.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast.
Damn.
It was because it's me and Ray.
So. I know, that's fair. That is fair. I'm more worried about this morning than I ever have before.
I was more concerned about the Iron Fist one since you regularly appear on it, Rebecca.
But I didn't when it was created and named.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have called it Sons of the Dragon.
Yeah.
It's just like, there would be a nightmare to change the name.
It's just, there's no point. But yeah, I've never felt offended by it either. So like, it is what it is.
Yeah. I aim to offend. I don't.
Not on this call, you don't. This is technically kid-friendly, though not really.
Well, I'm going to offend people who like Gotham by Gaslight. I know that.
Okay, brilliant. Here we go.
Have you read the comic, Alan?
Yes, I have read the comic. Comic book is better, apart from there's one thing I think this film does better.
Oh, this will be fun. I've not read the comic. Well, I probably have, but like decades ago, and I don't remember it. And I watched this, so I'm going just by the film.
Because the comic book, what the comic book does is it goes, here is a new character that has no context in the original Batman canon.
Yeah.
Guess who the killer is?
And he's called Jake, for God's sake. Like, he was so obvious. I couldn't, like, the comic, I thought it was good, but that was so, like, I don't know, it was just so weak, and then it just kind of fell apart. Like, I thought the first half of the comic was good, then it just completely falls apart. But
the artwork carries it anyway.
Let's be honest, that's the only reason anyone reads it, is because, oh, it's Mike Mignola does Batman.
I think there's also always a certain appeal to kind of AUs that play into different time zones.
Well, I thought it
and
was
I think that's the other reason Jack the Ripper's so popular, is everyone likes that kind of Victorian London, seedy back roads of London kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a cool concept, but, like, I always heard Gotham by Gaslight's a classic. It's on top of these Elseworlds, and I read it, and I'm like, the writing's like average 40-page 90s crossover comic with good artwork. Like,
well, I think they actually, because it's retroactively Elseworlds, because this was brought out before Elseworlds was a comic series, and then a bit like how, you know, how certain films, I know that they've done that with this is a weird one, the Chronicles of Riddick film, they've actually gone back and renamed Pitch Black to the Chronicles of Riddick Pitch Black, because...
Well, Star Wars Episode 4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest example, I mean.
Yeah, but it's such a big example, I forgot about it.
Well, it's because we don't think about it, because, like...
Well, yeah.
Because just having that episode 4 isn't quite the same as changing to Chronicles of Riddick, but yeah. I guarantee probably less people have seen the Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I read the sequel to Gotham by Gaslight as well, and it wasn't... It was worse.
What's the sequel?
Oh, to be fair, I didn't think it was, like... It was worse, but I didn't think either of them were that good. I think Gotham by Gaslight was a cool idea, and that's kind of where it ends. But somehow the movie was much worse, I thought. Minor spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this is going to be one of these things where I'm the only one that likes this, isn't it?
No, look, my initial comment to Connor after some of the dreadful films we've seen recently was, I thought this was all right. But the more he was talking about when he was watching it, I was like, yeah, that bit was dumb. But, like, I think I didn't hate it. Like, I didn't hate it. I just thought, I agree that bits of the plot are dumb. But I thought they got things like the... It was quite nice to see a different setting and what they did with it. And then just little things annoyed me. But, you know, because these films, none of them are really made for me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't hate it. I just... Yeah, the story, I think, with a comical film, it sounds like the story has some issues. And I guess the film has a problem in that it has to solve it quicker.
Yeah, but I think that's one thing, is it does get it's kind of, as a mystery, they've only got an hour of 15 minutes, and at least like 15, 20 minutes of that is set dressing, so... They've got this real thing of, we've got to try and set up a mystery and almost instantly solve it, which is always going to be difficult.
Well, there's, like, the comic's only 40 pages. He did more detective work.
Oh, really?
In the comic.
I didn't realize that. I figured it was a bigger comic.
No, he did more detective work in those 40 pages than he did in this hour and 20-minute movie.
Yeah.
Which is, like, oh, okay. Because I thought I would enjoy this more than I did. But I guess we'll get into... the hows and whys and whodunits.
So, one other thing, just before we actually get to the movie itself, particularly when, as I kind of mentioned, the draw of the comic book was specifically the art style. The art style on this is so generic.
I still didn't hate it. Like, I get that, but I haven't read the comic, and this just seemed fine. Like, I didn't hate any of it.
I thought, because these movies have a low budget, I thought at night the movie looked okay, but when it was during the day, I thought it looked really bad and cheap.
Yeah.
Right.
And there were some sequences which looked quite nice, like the rooftop chase, which hilariously ended in a giant explosion. But anyway... Yeah, so...
You can tell this that they dedicated the animation budget to two or three sequences.
Yeah, it was better than Red Sun. Like, that is, like, for me, Superman Red Sun is the pinnacle of cheap, poor animation.
We've not done that yet, right?
No, it'll be great.
Right, okay. So, noting down invite Connor for Red Sun.
Well, we would anyway, because we invite Connor for any Superman one, generally.
Either Connor or Ray or maybe Nathan as well.
Yeah.
So, the film opens in effectively the equivalent of a strip club, because it is a the mystery.
I think it's more that because it's based on Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
And they don't want to go heavily into prostitution, so a strip club seems safer.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, given the audience of these movies is clearly adult.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, I always think it's funny when, like, instead of him for some reason being in London, it's all in Gotham. It's like, okay.
Well, that's the thing. I was surprised a bit, because in the comic, Jack was in London, then he went to Gotham. And the thing that made the killer in the comic even more obvious is one of the two, there's two characters who are in London and Gotham at the same time as Jack the Ripper. One of them was Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was the killer. So...
Yeah, which is, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of...
But, yeah, they didn't put him in London for this, which was like... I don't really have an issue with. I was just a bit surprised. I thought it would be added.
No, I don't have an issue with it. It just makes me laugh, is that, like, going... It's something that's so very uniquely Victorian, and it's just, like, the idea that that would be the same in America is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And the other thing, actually, about the point of not wanting to show prostitution is we... Have Poison Ivy borderline stripping at the start.
Which I found I'm not offended by, I don't care. But I think the other problem with this as a story is that you need to set someone up and very quickly kill them. And that's always gonna sit very heavily in that little bit. It's just that there's just something weird about it, but at this pace and with the story you're telling, number one, it has to be a woman. Or, I mean, doesn't have to be a woman. In this context, it's going to be a woman.
It's Jack the Ripper, so yes, it's going to be a woman.
Well, no, because you could change that. I mean, it's not a straight translation.
Well, it's a translator, to be fair.
No, but I mean, they could have a gay prostitute. I mean, but the fact is that, the minute you see her, you know she's going to get killed probably horribly, and that's something a bit...
I mean, I thought...
I don't know how you get around that, but it's something I found a little bit... distasteful.
I don't think you can because of... I feel like if you change it from Jack the Ripper killing women, that's, one step too different.
Potentially. You know, but I'm just saying, sure you could if you want... I mean, but whether it would work or not, I don't know. I'm sure you could. It's just that I know I shouldn't have found that off-putting because I knew it was going to happen and it's a Jack the Ripper story. But, there was something in watching those scenes that I was just like, it hasn't fully got me on board immediately.
Well, it's not a very nice subject matter either.
Right, so. I guess that. But I used to be, totally fascinated by it. I used to read every single Jack the Ripper book I could get my hands on.
Same.
So,
I guess...
I'm not, I don't know, there was something... I guess there's something about seeing it and seeing it in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And the fact they made it... I feel like something to do with it might be the fact they made it Poison Ivy. I honestly expected...
Yeah.
If I was, I thought they would just do it with, a random woman, open it with that. But one thing I've noticed about this compared to the comic is they put in heaps of Batman characters. In the comic, there's, you have, Gordon, Harvey Dent, and, a couple of minor characters. But in this, you have, Poison Ivy, Catwoman, and all these major characters showing up.
Joker has, a visual cameo in the comic book. I mean, it's literally just a... This is a man that's been arrested, and his face was damaged by acid or something like that, and it's...
Yeah, it was actually a good cameo.
Uh-huh.
He married widows and poisoned them for their money.
That's awesome.
And when they were trying to catch him, he took his own poison, which is why his face got all messed up.
That's pretty
good. I thought was, a pretty clever cameo.
Yeah.
Whilst Ivy is being pursued by a tall man... in basically the classic Jack the Ripper garb, Batman is beating children.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that I don't think he would. I mean, Are we supposed to stand up for Batman wouldn't do that? Because I
no,
think
not
probably,
even that. Ooh, but it's just kind of like,
isn't one of the most famous panels him like slapping dick?
Well, we've even seen that recreated in a film recently. So
yeah, and also
oh, really?
Like
which movie was it?
The old one you were meant to guest on, Batman and Two Face.
God, you're lucky you
that's
didn't.
That's
hilarious. It was horrible.
Oh really?
No, just that bit. The rest
yeah,
of it was brilliant.
Was horrible. And doesn't he? He does something horrible to Jason as well. And he also tells Dick that he's glad he never adopted him. I mean, like he's not abusive. I mean, he's not known for hitting children. But like, I'm not like oh, he hit a kid. You know.
I wouldn't
get him to babysit my kid. I'll say that.
I wouldn't get. No, he'd probably steal them. Number one.
Yeah.
So
they're boy and like blonde and brunette. You're in danger.
You were speaking about introducing. So we have three street urchins who are Dick, Jason, and Tim. I wonder who they are allegories for.
It was a, hey, I guess I thought it was like a fun little.
Yeah.
Bit. It probably should have just been a cameo instead of them showing up later.
Yeah.
But.
Though, to be fair, Batman does at least tell them to go find Sister Leslie. So at least he's trying to find them a safe place before he recruits them.
Yeah. I guess
but it was so random that he like, recruited them off page.
Well, Alfred recruited them.
Yeah, I know, but that's just weird. Like, I think you're right. It's kind of weird that they just, oh, hi, we are. Kids. You might not know it.
Since we're at the start, I'll point out two things. The first thing I'll point out, which will come a bit later, Bruce Wayne hasn't been in it yet, but Batman's jawline and Bruce Wayne's don't match up. Like, it's not physically possible that they're the same person.
Cheap
his jaw
animation.
Is. Yeah, but, like, did they not think of this? Like, his jaw is too wide and has that line in the cowl, but, like, his face is completely different. It's, like, slimmer in the. And I was thinking, like, did he put, like, wax on there or something? But they never. Because in the comic, he looked consistent. You know, Bruce had a bit of a wide face. So that was surprising. And the other thing was, I was a bit disappointed by both this and the comic, because I think you can make Batman work really well in the 1800s. And I think, like, he worked for me, like, he would work better in the 1800s than he does, like, in modern day with all the technology and phones and people being desensitized. He could be like, you know, Spring-Heeled Jack sort of figure. Is that his name? Spring-Heeled Jack?
Spring-Heeled Jack is a. When Spring-Heeled Jack is a. There is a famous monster called Spring-Heeled Jack.
Hmm. Yeah, it was like people thought they saw it and stuff, and it's a bit visually reminiscent of Batman as well. So I thought, you know, you could do some really cool angles. And I loved the Batman costume design for this series. But he was just kind of in the movie, it was just kind of like normal Batman. Like people sort of reacted the same way that they did now, which I thought was a bit, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, you have extra runtime. You could do something neat with it, but. In fact, I think a lot of the movie was like it wasn't taking advantage of the setting. The setting was there, but we were getting a lot of the same like characterizations and events that we usually get.
Yeah. Rebecca.
I thought that was true.
Yeah, after finding the dead body of Ivy, we then cut to the next day. Where we have the all the important characters together as they go to the Gotham World's Fair.
They got this from the
fun.
Sequel.
Yeah.
The sequel had the Gotham World's Fair and a blimp.
I like blimps.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there's the blimp and there's also a very obvious, this is going to be the bat signal.
Oh, yeah. Which, to be fair, they don't really go that far. Used as a bat signal, but it's not, like, the bat signal.
Yeah. And also they go, and here is the Ferris wheel. The Ferris wheel is very important.
Mm.
There's a lot of there's for me there's a bit too many tongue in cheek jokes to like a wink at the audience going, hey, look, we're in the 19th century, which took me out of it a bit.
Can the body even survive going 15 miles an hour? Yes.
Yeah, like, there was an especially terrible line later that'll. Yeah.
So this is where we get the introduction of Selena Kyle, who is apparently the only person in the upper class who cares that. Also, what it's never quite explained if she's because so she came from kind of lower down the social order, but she became a theatre person and now she's rich or
yeah, I guess. Yeah, didn't really. Yeah, I mentioned she became like a nightclub person, but didn't explain anything else.
She's just there to be another sexy obnoxious woman for Bruce.
Yeah,
she is pretty obnoxious. Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, she's more competent than Batman in this film,
which is a problem.
I was about to say the exact same words.
yeah. I mean, like, how much I rag on Batman. Like, I want to see him competent, or there's no point to him.
I think he's competent. I just thought,
for me, no, Catwoman, but like more than competent is, you know, right. Like, I want to see him be Batman.
I guess I literally posted this on Facebook while I was watching this movie. Is writers don't know the difference between someone being assertive and someone being obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's with Catwoman here. It's like the problem is, if we weren't supposed to like Catwoman, it wouldn't be an issue. But we are supposed to like Catwoman, but she comes across as obnoxious and not assertive and strong, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the fact... I don't like Catwoman that much to begin with, and I feel like the last thing this story needs is a Batman and Catwoman romance, especially... As I mentioned before, it's like, it's the same stuff we see in modern Batman.
Yeah.
So again, they're not taking advantage of the setting. They're just telling us this story we've seen before, and they happen to be wearing funny hats now. So,
So the other characters we introduce are the mayor, Sister Leslie. We meet Gordon and Bullock, Harvey Dent, and Hugo Strange.
Yeah.
Nice to see him.
Sister Leslie is the example of a character being assertive.
Yep.
Yeah. But I also thought she was going to be the killer.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of parts where I'm like, what if they'll make her the killer?
He said, oh, wait, we were all taken in by her. And I was like, oh, it's clearly her.
And it's when she then mentions, because it's also implied that effectively Sister Leslie did take Bruce in. So he knew, for example, Pamela Isley.
Mm-hmm.
Which I suppose is good in a way, and it's good that the kind of this Batman obviously has actually engaged in the real world for a bit, because I know that there can be some let's be honest, that's kind of a huge plot point with the most recent Batman live action film, is this idea of, you know, Bruce is pretty much cut off from the real world.
Yeah.
So we then follow later that night where Selena Kyle is boxed in by Jack the Ripper and decides the best place to hide is a slaughterhouse.
I think
one of the reasons they killed Pamela at the start, Poison Ivy, is because I think they wanted to establish a no one is safe idea.
Yeah.
But that didn't work because I knew Catwoman wasn't going to die in this movie.
I absolutely never thought she was in any danger.
Yeah.
Though I did note from the start of this sequence to the end of the fight, which is so Selena Kyle fights Jack the Ripper and then Batman gets involved. Jack the Ripper actually manages to beat them both.
Good, I'll add, because, nothing would demean the villain more if Catwoman beat him up with a whip in his, like, introduction, you know?
And
his proper introduction.
And Batman is able to end the fight by opening the floor up from under him. But that whole sequence, I don't think there was a single line of dialogue.
Better for it.
Absolutely.
I like the fight scene at the start where he beats up that thug.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But I feel like I really don't like the idea of these constant fist fights with Jack the Ripper. Mm. I think it's just, like, it doesn't work. One of the things that worked about the comic is, like, there's not that much action. It's mostly, like, a detective story. And, like, it was full of twists and turns. And there's, like, a scuffle at the end. But, yeah, like, the idea of Jack the Ripper is, like, this sort of super killer, you know? I would have liked it if it was more Batman just couldn't find Jack the Ripper as opposed to Jack the Ripper can beat the crap out of Batman.
There's about three or four different fights between between them. And I think Jack the Ripper comes out on top in every single fight apart from the last one where Batman pulls a trick.
I mean, when we find out who he is, like, it makes sense that he can beat Batman, but like this Batman anyway, but you know, it's the kind of premise is a whodunit, but it doesn't follow any of the whodunit conventions, and that's I think to its
becomes we don't have any suspects, we have one obvious suspect, but it's not going to be them because they are setting up from very early on, they're trying to set it up as Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't really lean into that. I was too amused by my Leslie theory.
There was one point where I thought it might have been Harvey near the end. I think you mentioned it, Alan. Like, I think the one thing this movie does better than the comic is it kept me, like, wondering who the killer actually was.
Right.
And I didn't really figure it out until, spoiler, like, until Catwoman said she's going off to meet Gordon at the fair, I'm like, oh, it's Gordon, but I didn't know.
And that's... Till then. I do like... Now, one thing, I'd watched this film before, so I go in and I know it's Gordon. So spoiler, yeah, Jim Gordon's the killer in this film.
Mm.
And I think that's brilliant, because I'm like, it's the one person you would never... Like, you'd never guess it's Jim Gordon.
The one person I would never guess would be Alfred. And as you know.
Well, that's the thing. It could be anyone.
No. That would be too far. Come on.
I don't disagree, but you know.
No, with the original comic, it was his uncle figure that was the killer. So I don't think it would be that much of a stretch.
It would be for Alan, though.
Oh, no. If it had been Alfred, I would have turned it off. No.
I know what Batman story I'll tell if I ever get to tell one.
Alfred
loses it and becomes the biggest supervillain.
Well, there is a universe where Alfred is Joker.
Oh, of course there is.
Because
everyone has to be
it.
Joker. Can't be his own baddie.
What's that called? Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader or something like that? It's a weird comic book.
Oh yeah, don't spoil that. I haven't read it yet. It's on my shelf.
Yeah.
God, can I just talk about how annoying Catwoman was in this scene? Okay, so there shouldn't have been a fight. Fighting Jack the Ripper with a whip is just stupid and ridiculous. And, you know, like, I don't think they needed to make Selina a fighter in this. Because, like, it never really does anything anyway. You know, Poison Ivy wasn't a plant lady. That was just her gimmick. So, and the other thing is, like, when she's like, oh, what did you do? I had him. It's like, you didn't. You were being choked to death. Like, you would not have gotten out of that situation if Batman didn't show up. So that really annoyed me. That's like a character trope I hate. Like, oh, I had it when they obviously didn't.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Jim Gordon, who we don't know is the killer yet, has a nightmare.
It's a good way to throw us off. Because it's like the nightmare doesn't make sense in retrospect.
of that.
Yeah.
Unless it's maybe down the line of he's scared that he'll lose control around her, but then...
Well, that's how I took it.
One other thing that's noticeable. In this scene, Mrs. Gordon... And Mrs. Gordon, we never find out her first name.
Barbara, isn't it? Doesn't he call her out?
She does. She calls her Barbara.
Oh, does it?
Because I did a sort of double take, and then I was like, oh, no, it's right. Her name is Barbara.
I know her name is Barbara.
Babs is named after her. No, but like I had that kind of, oh, we're not going to any weird Barbara Gordon bits, are we? And then I kind of picked that. Yeah, I know, because you have to worry with these films.
Because that's one thing as well. Explicitly in this scene, she doesn't have a load of burns on the side of her face.
Is it feet? Because I didn't know this was coming, and you did. So is it feasible that like her hair was covering it, or
no? Not from where she's burned. Because she's basically shown as down to almost the bottom of her jaw. So no, it's not even. Because that's the one thing was like I was watching that scene and going. Is it even stuff like if she's facing away from the camera the whole time?
But it's a dream, right?
No, the set...
Not when he gets up.
Oh, right.
But yeah, that's the one thing. Like, that is purely a contrivance so that we don't get it straight away. Meanwhile, we get Batman drops in on Jim Gordon at home.
Yeah.
At which point, one of the things that Jim Gordon mentions is he fought in... I'm assuming this would be the American Civil War.
Yeah. I guess. Sorry. I have another bad thing to point out about that scene earlier. How did he know Jack the Ripper would be there? And, like, why was he following Selina unless, like, he just does that?
Unless he's a creeper.
Did he do it because she was walking home on her own? But even then you'd think we would get some lip service to that or implication that there was a reason he was following her, but we don't. Mm.
I'm taking it something along the lines of, well, I think at this point had the, was it not at this point the Dionysus pin had, no, this is way before that. So it's not, basically, I don't know if it's the original thing as he was following her to confront her and see what she knew and then, oh, it just so happened. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they could have pretty easily like given something to us, but we get nothing of why he was following her.
We also get so Jim Gordon, one that recommends that Batman goes to see Hugo Strange, which then makes sense later when it becomes clear that he's trying to implicate Bruce Wayne in the killings, and to. He hands Batman a letter that was sent to the press, and when they read this, I think this actually might literally be a word-for-word version of the Dear Boss Jack the Ripper letter.
Yeah, which I think is an issue. I don't think...
Yeah.
I don't think cartoons should be doing those verbatim.
I mean, if it was a kid's cartoon, sure, but this is like a bad.
I agree. I just think there's easy enough to change the wording so it's not a fact, you know, like it's not an exact replica unless it's a documentary about the actual the murders.
Yeah.
Well, they could have avoided if they had put him in London beforehand.
They absolutely could have.
Yeah. It did bug me though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess because it was so long ago, it doesn't bug me as much. But if it was recent, I could see it bothering me. But was it word for word? Because it didn't say from hell, right? Like, that's a big thing that he puts on from hell in the note.
Thus, from hell.
It could maybe be a kind of amalgamation of the Dear Boss and From Hell letters.
Mm.
Certainly, a lot of the stuff that said, I'm like, no, I'm fairly sure that's from one of those two letters. Obviously, I know that there's a lot of dispute as to... There is a belief that one of those two letters is fake, possibly both of them.
Yeah.
Stuff like, for example, the handwriting's completely different. One of them has a lot of spelling mistakes.
Mm.
Which I do like as well, the fact that Batman... One of the things he does say is, oh, this is very obviously someone who is educated pretending not to be educated.
I liked that part.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Alfred insists that Bruce Wayne has to go out at some point, and instead of saying, "You're not my father," Bruce agrees to go out with Harvey Dent.
You made it sound like on a date, which would be funny.
Harvey Dent was looking to get laid at the end of the night, but not with Bruce, to be fair.
I'm just saying, like...
So they go to the Monarch Theatre, which I believe is also the one... That's generally the name of the theatre, well, certainly in a few things, that's the name of the theatre from the backstory. And we get an extended musical sequence.
Because we always get... It's not that extended, actually. This one didn't annoy me so much.
It's a couple of minutes. It's...
Yeah, but, like, it's not the Joker singing stupid... Sorry. You're going to have to edit that. I can't say it nicely.
It's fine, I'll just beep it.
I'm sorry, I try so hard not to swear, but...
Do you know what?
Singing, I cannot help myself.
That's about the second or third time in 70 episodes. We're fine. We then get Harvey and Bruce visit Selina in her dressing room, which isn't sleazy at all. And yeah. Harvey, at this point, is already drinking.
He's like a different person when he drinks.
It's almost like he's two-faced.
Almost.
Yeah. And after going to a tavern, which I think is something like the small tavern or the wee tavern or something, just kind of placeholder name, they then try and get into the Dionysus Club, at which point Bruce disguises Selina as a man.
Yeah.
So dumb. Like, I was really checked out at this point. Like, I was still watching and paying attention and taking notes, but I was at the point where I'm like, yeah, it's not going to get better.
So...
Because, like, just the way the characters were talking, what was happening, the weird, like, I don't know, just, yeah, I didn't really like any of it.
Yeah. So, we get... Selina basically notices that Bruce isn't drinking, and Bruce goes Sherlock on her, which is implied at some point he studied under Sherlock, because I think he mentions...
Yeah, of course.
He mentions at points getting trained by Houdini and by Sherlock Holmes, so...
He gets trained by Freud in the comics.
I don't think he mentions Freud here.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
And then Selina Kyle mentions something that triggers Bruce, and Bruce somehow figures out, oh no, Jack the Ripper's going to kill Sister Leslie right now.
This was a big leap. Why does he come to that conclusion? Because Leslie, like, she doesn't really fit any of the... like, profiles of the other victims. She's an old nun. She's not a young... club worker.
And also, it's not like... I could maybe see the Selina Kyle thing in terms of it's clear later that Gordon is deliberately killing people to try and get them associated with being in proximity to Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm. But still, it doesn't make that much sense.
Yeah, they never bother explaining it. Like, the movie just keeps moving and moving, and you're just not supposed to think about it.
I think. So, while Sister Leslie is walking about a graveyard randomly at night for no discernible reason, she bumps into a homeless woman, voiced by Tara Strong, which I kept on thinking, is this... I actually misheard the name at first and went, oh, is this meant to be Harley Quinn? Because it's Marlene, but for some reason I heard Harlene. I was like, oh,
the other thing, I didn't think the voice acting was very good all around.
No, I didn't
Which
either.
Which is weird, because it's all
barely, it's a big star cast.
It's a yeah, the cast is like you've got DiMaggio, you've got
Yeah, a lot of them have done it before.
It's Bruce Greenwood voicing Batman.
Yep. He was okay. Like, he was just kind of normal Batman. But, you know, everyone else, especially, like, Gordon, I thought was pretty weak. And yeah. I don't think you want Gordon to be, you know, I think you'd want him to be, like, pretty good.
Especially in this film.
Yeah.
So, Marlene then later sees Bruce entering the graveyard. As Leslie's murdered by Jack.
Yeah.
We then cut to Alfred looking for Bruce in his second study, where Bruce has found a Dionysus pin club pin, which severely narrows down the suspects.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And also mentions, oh, there's some fibres on the clothing. That doesn't come into anything else. They just mention it. Which, yeah. You're kind of going, that could have been a detective thing. But no. Let's have another punch up instead.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't believe that it just kept happening. Like, they just kept having these big epic fights.
But before we get to the next quote-unquote big epic fight, we have Leslie Tompkins' funeral. And whilst that happens, we get Hugo Strange comes up to Bruce Wayne and goes, Batman wants to meet me to find out who Jack the Ripper is. And I'm also, I'm kind of going, why wouldn't you just tell Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Well, I think he knows. The implication I got is that Hugo Strange clearly knows.
Oh yeah, of course he
Bruce
does.
Bruce is Batman.
Of course he does.
I just don't think he wanted to make it public.
Less sense.
Well, I don't think he wanted to make it like a public confrontation, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think he, or he didn't want to play that card yet. He wanted to sort of hold that card.
Basically, because he thinks he's safe.
Yeah, and if he goes to Bruce, hey, you're Batman, he can easily go, you're crazy, and Bruce will walk away. But if he's like kind of cryptic, he can kind of string Bruce along, which he did. I don't know, it was one of the cool nails in our case scene.
We also get Alfred catching Jason trying to pick his pocket, which leads to Alfred hiring the Three Robins.
Yeah, this is when they didn't need to show up again.
Yeah.
And if, like, they're...
But if they don't show up, who's going to drop off the box later?
That's the only reason they're there, really, isn't it? So...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no restraint. I don't know. It's just, I mean, this is the... According to my review, this is the clown that wrote Reign of the Superman. Which, boy, I have problems with that movie as well. So I wasn't surprised.
So, yeah. I've not actually watched Reign of the Superman yet, so...
It's just such... You have... I think it's J.M. DeMatteis writing. No, it's, that guy. Big guy. Rebirth. Final Days of Superman. What's his name? Peter J. Tomasi writes Death of Superman. He's a damn good writer.
Mm.
And then this guy writes a sequel, Reign of the Superman. And there is a quality gulf there. Like... Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yep. So, the final kind of important thing that happens in the funeral is Marlene is confronts and tries to blackmail Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And everyone sees it.
Yeah, which, knowing the comic, I'm like, oh, they're actually going to adapt him getting arrested.
Yeah.
This is how that'll, you know...
But before that, we have to see Arkham Asylum, which is every old Victorian asylum stereotype. We then go to Hugo Strange's office, where he goes, "Oh, Batman, you're early." It's not Batman.
Which I think we all figured out straight away, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, so, oh, can I point out the really bad quote that was earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
I said it sort of back when I was watching it. Hang on. Oh, please, Bruce, this is the 19th century. Don't be so old-fashioned. Marriage is more like a business arrangement.
Yeah.
I don't need to elaborate on that quote.
If anything, it's become less of a business arrangement as time's gone on.
I know, that's like one of the big problems. It's like...
just a very bad bit of writing.
Because, yeah, that was the opposite. Marriage was basically just, this is what I'm going to give you so that you'll give me some cows.
Yeah, basically.
In our cultures.
In our cultures, yeah, to be fair.
In the 19th century, in many other cultures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So that it was egregious for that reason.
That was
also
a big upswell of romantic love and fiction and stuff. But...
So the other thing was, it was just another one of those cringy wink and nods. Like, hey, look, we're in the 19th century.
So, to be fair, Jack the Ripper does not stab Hugo Strange. He just throws him into the lunatics.
And he gets torn apart.
Yeah.
Which I think goes to show how Hugo was, how they felt about Hugo.
Also, one thing, how on earth does this in any way implicate Bruce Wayne? Because there is no way that anyone could see anything other than one, there's no indication Bruce Wayne was there. And two, technically speaking, whoever killed Hugo Strange, it wasn't them, it was the lunatics. He could have fell in.
That's true. I guess the idea was that Bruce and Hugo were seen talking together at the funeral in a non-friendly way. But, like, yeah, it's a big stretch.
We then get a extended chase scene involving rooftops and airship. And a steampunk Batman grapple.
I like the rooftop part, where they're just sort of silhouettes. That kind of works. Everything else, I was like,
Again, it's... There's no reason to have free fights.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, there really isn't. It takes away from other stuff.
I mean, how many detectives get in three fist fights with the killers they're chasing before they catch him, you know? Like,
I was going to make a Yorkshire Ripper slam on the police, but they didn't actually get in any punch-ups, but they did question him a lot of times.
And also, the issue is, that's time you could have done actually setting up a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Or watching him do something detective-y. More than just following someone.
Instead of what they do, which is basically, might be Harvey, it's not Harvey. They also, Batman at this point, he's been shot. He's been nearly fed to the propeller of the airship multiple times. And he just jumps off an exploding airship.
I was laughing when there was a huge explosion. I found that hilarious. Like, did we... You know what this movie needed? This tale of Batman and Jack the Ripper? Some big explosion, you know? In the 1800s, for God's sake. It's like when they put explosions in Troy. Like, it was just...
So...
And that's not the only explosion either. We got another one coming up later too.
That's what I mean. Like, they're basically. I do like this one, but they do kind of. They dilute the ending so badly with the previous two fight scenes.
I could take one as a climax.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would understand why you would do that, but having three big set pieces is like.
Or even something like, if they'd done something like, we get Selina Kyle fighting him, losing quite badly and Batman intervening, I could maybe get that just to establish, okay, no, he's a good fighter. But
yeah.
Other than that, so we then get the stealth sequence of the film, which is, so Batman tries to escape first by grabbing a coat, covering up his batsuit, taking off his mask, because no one's going to recognize Bruce Wayne in the slums of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Works for Iron Fist, so.
And then he notices, no, the police are pulling aside people anyway. So he ends up being saved for no explanation of how she got there or what she's doing or why she's just letting someone into her carriage. Selina Kyle saves him.
This whole sequence of Bruce and Selina, I was just like, can this please end? It was so... Again, I'll bring up that point that I brought up before, is like, this Bruce Catwoman stuff, it's just stuff we get now, and it's not even that good now.
It's not,
as well.
It's just... It bloats something that could have been spent on better things.
Yeah, you could have spent more time with, like, maybe set up some red herrings with the other other suspects, or... I don't know, do something with Batman in the 1800s.
The only thing they do with the 1800s is they go down the, oh, sorry, we were in the middle of doing something that requires us to take our clothes off. Don't look at my shoulder.
Again, I don't think the comic's that good. Fantastic artwork. I think everyone agrees the artwork's great, but this is like a dumbed-down Hollywood version of the comic. This is what it feels like. Because you have romance, explosions, big fights.
So we then get we wake up, we go to the next morning, and Selina and Bruce have spent the night together, and then the police arrive. So we actually get, in this version, Bullock is Irish, and voiced by John DiMaggio.
Didn't even notice, honestly.
And they arrest Bruce, and Harvey Dent is the one that told them where Bruce was. How does Harvey know? At all?
Yeah, you know, you've picked up a few things where it's like, if you stop and think about it for a second, it doesn't hold up.
That said, this is the part where they're really starting to go, it's definitely Harvey, it's definitely Harvey, it's definitely Harvey.
Yeah. Which, admittedly, I fell for briefly.
Uh-huh.
Like, for a scene, I was like, oh, it's probably Harvey, but then
I mean, look, I wouldn't be surprised if they go for the most obvious. They usually do.
Well, the comic certainly did.
So, oh, I forgot to mention the Ferris wheel's called the Fox wheel in this. So they managed to get a Lucius Fox reference in too.
Oh God, that's so stupid.
Yeah, that
I didn't even think about it, and it's so freaking stupid.
So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, so Bruce gets put in jail with no hope of bail. And Selina visits him and goes, you need to tell Gordon you're Batman, because Batman has an alibi.
I mean, well, that bit made sense.
Yep.
But it was still dumb.
And then that's when they kind of go. So she then goes, no, I'm going to go tell him anyway. I'm going to go tell him. And that's the first time you can go, oh no. So Bruce,
they did in the comic, Bruce gets arrested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of, like, I thought the neatest parts of the comic is he's arrested and he's thrown in Arkham, and it gets to a point where they're gonna execute him by a certain date. So what happens, Gordon, who's not the killer in the comic, he brings Bruce all the files on the case, and Bruce is like trying to solve it in his prison cell before he's executed.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. Like, and it was really great. It was like, it was a real detective stuff, you know?
He's
And he's in a straitjacket, so he's trying to do it with his feet. And it was very, very Batman, very good stuff. And this movie didn't do anything with that. Like, he didn't try and solve it while he was in the prison or anything. He just sort of busted out, which I thought was disappointing.
Well, that could actually... You could even have framed it like that. Let's start the film with Bruce Wayne going into jail.
Ooh, and that's an idea. I'm in jail for the murder of...
This is what actually happened.
Yeah.
So, we have to try and get another crowbarred in cameo. So, Cyrus Gold is the head of a fighting ring, and Bruce challenges him to a fight, and then causes a riot to start, and that's how he escapes.
Again, that's... So in the comic, we have him investigating a crime, and then escaping with trickery. In the movie, it's another fight scene.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
So... Selina's trying to find Jim Gordon. They try again to desperately go, no, it's Harvey Dent! It's Harvey Dent!
Yeah.
But then they say, but Jim Gordon is at the World's Fair.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Batman is picking up a crate that's been delivered by Robbins.
What's in the crate again? Oh, it's the bike.
A steampunk motorcycle that it features for 10 seconds.
That was so dumb. Like,
But as Selina is talking to Jim Gordon, Batman goes to Gordon's house and finds a hidden room. And I do think this scene's done well.
I liked it.
Yeah, this is all right.
This scene's done really well. And as I said, it's that point of, at this point, you're so conditioned to go, no, it's Jim Gordon. It couldn't possibly be Jim. No, it's Jim Gordon.
And
then when they do the other thing, which is, and I watched it back, the only thing that in any way hints is, one, you could maybe argue the dream sequence is Jim Gordon being afraid of losing control, and he mentions casually at one point that he fought in the Civil War.
Which is amazing.
And then all the explanation then happens later, after this reveal.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't think, outside of Harvey, you don't really get any sort of indication with any of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, there's no motivation or logic towards any suspects.
Yeah.
So we don't really have any idea, like, except maybe Harvey, which is the only person that's pushed. And again, that's because instead of, you know, actual crime stuff and suspects and red herrings, we got Catwoman romance and action set pieces replacing, you know, actual plot and development.
Oh, I can feel my love of this film slipping. Sorry. No, it's fine. Because, the thing I like about it is Jim Gordon's the killer. That's the actual thing I like. I go, that's
good. That's the only thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And even then, it's just not executed well. But the idea of,
for Gotham by Gaslight, because that's what the comic book is. For Fish. Meanwhile, Gordon has decided to sedate Selina Kyle for no reason.
I was getting to the point where I was getting genuinely angry. Like, there was no reason for him not to just, attack her with a knife. That's his MO. Why would he not do that?
The only thing I could maybe say is, the idea is, No, he wants her sedated for a long period of time so he can go really torturing with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't get that impression. For me, it was just like, oh, this is a plot convenience to keep her alive. And, like, he injects her in the neck, and it doesn't even knock her out.
That's the thing. At no point... Like, you know, she basically spends the rest of the film kind of like,
well, yeah, she's
I'm a bit
around,
slower but... now. And by the end, I'll actually, you know, within about 5 minutes, I'll be absolutely fine. I'll actually be able to physically help carry Bruce away.
This is, this guy loves having his love interest in the final battle. Anyway. Yeah,
though one thing that she does do while she's trying to escape is she uses some of her own blood to draw a bat on the giant searchlight, so we get the bat signal.
I think that could have been a lot, like, the setup with the bat signal, I think, could have been a lot worse than what we actually got. At least this was an explanation as to how Batman got somewhere, which we never get at any other point. Like, we never know, like, why is he there? How is he there? Now we know, oh, he knows where they are, so.
So, we get a massive fight on the Fox Wheel.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
which would, if this had been the first fight, I actually think would have been interesting, but, so, it tells you a lot. I actually forgot that they fought twice. I only fought... The two of them fought.
They're not very memorable fights. Is
I
the
can only
other
remember
issue.
One fight going into it. Was like, and then the Hugo Strange fight happened. It was like, oh yeah, that's right. This fight happens as well. But at this point,
it was,
this is also the exposition dump, as Gordon goes. The reason that I hate women is because some women with diseases followed the Civil War camp.
Yeah, this I thought this was pretty weak.
It was incredibly weak and a little bit gross.
Yeah.
Like, so Gordon being the killer is better, but the motivation in the comic is much better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
As the motivation is, like, in the comic is, funnily enough, Martha rejected him pretty cruelly, and he was already... you know, not quite all there, and, like, he kind of just sees her in all these women, and, like, he just kills them out of, like, this obsession. Like, it feels a lot more like, oh, this is something that could, you know, this is a stretch that could happen, whereas in this, it's like, rah, you know, I hate women. And, like,
prostitutes are bad, so therefore all women are bad.
And, like, sure, that's
including
a thing.
Including the nun.
That's a thing, but you could do it a lot better than they did.
It was very unconvincing.
Then the nun too. Oh, he conveniently mentions that the nun beat him with a ruler, which means they're bad, and that's
He was beaten by nuns because he was left-handed.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure nuns would have done. But like,
I'm sure they would.
Clearly, just...
you know, it's not like a inciting
left-handed...
incident.
Well, that was one thing that you could have had as a hint is, for example. Oh, the killer's left-handed, and at some point we see Harvey Dent use his left hand or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they could have actually done something interesting, but... So...
Yeah.
Also, at one point, Gordon is going to fall off the wheel, but Batman saves him. Because he's Batman.
To be fair, it's not like... It's not like he's the Joker.
Yeah. No, I mean, it does make sense. Like, he does believe in imprisoning people, so, you know, that would be a sensible thing to do.
And Gordon then...
It would be funny if somebody had said, Gordon's alive. Sorry.
Brian Blessed should be Batman.
be amazing.
So, Gordon handcuffs himself to Batman... And is on top of the fight until... And this is the first time that Houdini's mentioned in the film. Batman goes, oh, I paid Houdini $300 to teach me how to take off a pair of handcuffs. And
I mean, he probably could have found somebody who would do it cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like $300 in that time period would have been a lot of money.
Maybe like a bit more of an elaborate thing he could learn from Dini. Instead of like the old handcuffs trick.
So Gordon is now handcuffed to the burning cabin. And Jim Gordon decides to immolate himself.
Yeah. No, I'll just like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Catwoman, Alfred, and the Robins save Batman from the burning World's Fair site.
God, when like Alfred and the Robins just turn up, like,
we saw a giant fire, we knew it had to be you.
Jesus, I think this is at my point of the notes where, because I'm looking at my notes now, I write at the end, God, what the chocolate is this? Like, I think this is where that happened. At this point, it really felt like a bad Hollywood action movie. Mm. Like, it's ticking all the boxes.
I mean, it does feel that's what it was modelled on. That's why, you know, hey.
And as I mentioned, Selena Kyle, basically, who's still recovering from being dosed with some sort of chemical.
Yeah, some cocktail.
Is somehow strong enough to help carry Bruce away.
Yeah.
Like, why even inject her in the first place? I don't know.
And that's the end of the film. And I don't care that it's stupid. I still liked it.
It's definitely not in my hated list, but it has a lot of dumbness.
Yeah. It's in my hated list. I finished it and I'm like, wow, I hated this.
Right, okay. Connor, go watch Batman and Harley Quinn.
No, don't make us do that. It's so bad.
Yes. And then come back to me.
Well, that's the problem. You guys, you guys are watching all these animated shows. I'm just comparing it to the ones I've watched. And to be honest, this is near the bottom, I gotta say, out of all the animated ones I've watched. And I've watched a fair few. I haven't watched all of them like you guys. Like, I'm not watching stuff like Superhero Girls.
Yeah.
So, like, if I went from Superhero Girls to this, I might be a bit relieved, but, like, I'll...
That said, the last two films we did before this were really good.
Right.
Scooby-Doo and Batman, The Brave and the Bold's quite good, and Batman vs. Two-Face is very good.
I have seen Scooby-Doo one.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty fun.
I wasn't that into it, but I really liked how they put in obscure DC characters. Well, it was very neat how they did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, this is just like... it's just, you got no excuse... for this crap. Like, this is... It would be less bad if it wasn't... It would be less bad if the subject matter wasn't Jack the Ripper in the 1800s. Like, how do you turn that into this?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Like, what? Do you not have any better ideas than this? Like... Because it's an awesome concept.
Lot of stuff in this that is an awesome concept that they just don't quite follow through on.
And for me, this period is like a great period for Batman to make him work better. And...
Yeah, it would be so good because it can be so evocative with the darkness and the bat symbolism and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like the costume, the way his costume's made, you know, they just make it like subpar Hollywood Batman story. And by Batman story, I mean there's nothing different about it. That you could set this in modern times, basically, and it wouldn't really matter.
So that's Gotham by Gaslight. The next film we've got coming up is Suicide Squad Hell to Pay.
There'll be hell to pay for this film.
Which, I think it's out of the Suicide Squad film, or out of the two Suicide Squad films we see, this is definitely the better one.
Oh, God.
I mean, that should be good news. But it's
yeah, hopefully. But then I worry that I won't like it, and then I'll be in trouble.
It's the only one where Harley's only a side character. Harley's there, but she's not a major character. The major characters are Deadshot and Bronze Tiger, really, in the Suicide Squad itself.
Bronze Tiger is cool, I will say.
And also, the plot is completely off the rails. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to react to it, Rebecca. I genuinely don't. I would say I like it, but that's how they're ringing endorsement at the moment. After that, we've got Lego DC Comics Superheroes The Flash, which I know nothing about. Freedom Fighters The Ray, which is set in the Arrowverse and isn't a real movie, but it was released as one because I've got the box.
Oh, yeah, I watched the first episode of it.
We've got the next film that I'm actually dreading, which is Batman Ninja.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to that, honestly, because you're dreading it.
It's the only movie out of this that I actually can pinpoint the moment it lost me. I'm just going to say monkeys.
Ooh, that sounds good to me. If they called it Batman, if it was called Batman Monkeys, I'd probably watch it.
No. If you've watched the film, you know what I'm referring to. So, and the because I always like to do five. Lego DC Superhero Girls Super Villain High.
Ooh.
I wonder if... I've liked a couple of those, so we'll see.
That... the idea sounds interesting, actually. So it looks like some of the characters who are inexplicably heroes in previous films are now actually going to be villains. And yeah, that's the next five films that we've got coming up. Connor, if you want to reintroduce the two podcasts that you put on regularly, just so that we've got someone who actually knows what they're called.
So I do with Ray Larson's Krypton, a Superman podcast. We just finished Grant Morrison's Action Comics, and we did a commentary for Superman and Lois finale, and we are doing Superman vs. Predator next, since Prey's coming out soon. Yeah, no, that's a thing.
How does the Predator live more than 30 seconds?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I will say Superman vs. Aliens was pretty good. So, you know. But, yeah, I can't see Predator working. Anyway.
Well, I don't think... Predator doesn't have access to Kryptonite, right? So.
And the other thing is, there's, like, lots of aliens for Superman vs. Alien. But anyway, there's... Sons of the Dragon, the Immortal Iron Fist podcast. That's been on a bit of a break because I haven't been able to record because I've been busy with family stuff, but that'll be back soon. I'm covering wonderful stuff over there.
Yeah. Wonderful stuff. Can't wait. We'll be back soon, no doubt.
I would rather watch Gotham by Gaslight backwards than...
Yeah, me too.
Actually. Read the next Iron Fist. So, you know.
Is that okay? So, you appeared on anything recently, Rebecca?
I'm doing a Moon Knight one very soon, and there was a Moon Knight one last week. We've got a lot of Moon Knight issues, so it's all Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I know.
And meanwhile, I am still on Rise of the Robots. We are currently covering Robotica, which is the only one of these shows that instead of being let's have loads of fights is actually no, you have to build a robot that can do your load of different tasks. 90% of them is drive through glass. Oh no, I'll send you a link. It's insane.
Shattering glass.
It is one of the most demented programs because it goes from So the presenter is incredibly... I think it's one of the Zappa bros. But he's like completely crazy and wild. And then they'll cut to someone giving a really in-depth technical analysis of the robot, including how it's built and all the setup it's got.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's that was this week's episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Suicide Squad: Hell to Pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.